Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. A special program based upon all of the world events, including those of a new president in the United States, people who are approximately equally divided in their perspectives, their beliefs, their ideologies, their perceptions of what is occurring today. I thought I would set aside today to do a more scholarly, measured, and larger overview, one that I believe we need in order to gain a more honest and realistic perspective of what is happening and our contribution to it. I'll be doing this as a state of the world review. First off, let us look at the world in which we live. It is assumed that when one presidency is eliminated, they have finished out their term, and another one is beginning, that a person should be able to show the impact of that administration on not only the people of the United States, but also everywhere else where we had any influence or interactions. That was not done. Instead, what we had was a fawning press led by the New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, that was so biased, so lacking in objectivity, that it mocked what true journalism and historical perspective should be. In effect, all of the crimes and misdemeanors, all the indiscretions, all of the overarching and destabilizing acts of this administration were simply swept into a closet and the door locked. I believe it's time that we took an honest look at what the world is today, both the best and the worst, what the new president has promised, what we believe he is likely to do, and the consequences. I will hopefully have enough time to save room at the end of the program for you to call in and share your perspective. I begin by looking at the world, because we're a part of it, and everything we do in the United States will, to a larger or smaller degree, impact other people. We currently have 7.4 billion people residing on this planet, and yet we consume as if we had 2.5 worlds with unlimited resources. Our entire capitalist system is based upon constantly growing, and therefore the idea that whatever we have is never enough, and that we want to give people who have everything they could possibly need to have a quality of life even more. George Carlin once said that we have way too much stuff, we overvalue it, and it really has no value except some existential value. When you go into most people's closets, you look in their refrigerators, you look in their garages, what do we have? What do we need? I have found people in my travels around the world who have not 1/100th of what we have materially, but have 100 times more spiritually. They are happier. Americans seem to be unhappy about everything all the time. We are a nation that maladapts based upon our circumstances. We maladapt if we're a trust baby, if we haven't had to work for anything. We maladapt if we are not held to any spiritual, social, interpersonal, familial standards of accountability. If you are not held accountable for any failure, then what is the likelihood that you will grow in the real world where a lot of failure occurs before we finally get to a place where we can at least mastered something positive? I believe that ours was the last generation, the baby boomers, to learn from the greatest generation. And indeed, they were the greatest generation because they suffered the most privations. They had the Great Depression of 11 years. They had Second World War of 4 years. When you're looking at 15 years of living off rations with no, in the early part, no federal institutions would come to your aid. Many people starved to death in the United States. And they sacrificed for us. we had an understanding of discipline, of manners, of morals, of etiquette. We were told to learn in class so that we could become critical thinkers and apply what we learned into the greater community and the world, and we did. Now look at our current generations and ask them questions about the world we live in. Ask them about our histories, going clear back to the beginning. Ask them about other cultures, other races, other ethnicities. Ask them, have they spent time with people in other communities? Have they gone to Camden, New Jersey, and walked down the streets I've walked several times to talk with the people there? And they'll look at you. They'll repel backwards in horror. Why would I want to go to Camden? Okay, I've gone 9 times to Detroit. Why would I want to go to Detroit? Why would I want to go to Compton or the inner city of Newark or Bed-Stuy? Why would I want to go to these places, they'll say? And I would answer, because there's decent, ethical, spiritual human beings living there. Do not be confused by what we should be doing, where we should be going, what lessons we should be learning, with a conditioned response to fear. Because we are a country, if nothing else, that is primed, manipulated, and motivated by special interest groups to keep us constantly fearing someone, something, some group, to their advantage and to our disadvantage. We become complacent, so we never think of what we consume in America having an impact on anyone else in the world, but it does. Right now, as I'm speaking, there are realtors in southern Florida. Just give you an example, from the Keys right up through Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach. Now, they should know, because the evidence is so readily apparent, that the surge at night coming in is coming in so far that there is an absolute certainty that that land underneath those buildings that are being built, the new condos, for $1, $2, $3, $4, $5, $10 million, will not be sustainable. In the very near future, a concrete piling resting on sand will be destabilized, and it'll show itself with cracks in the foundation, windows not opening, doors not opening, until finally one day the building is condemned. And then everyone will say, why would you sell me something that you knew or should have known or could have known? Are you that greedy? Are you that selfish? Are you that self-serving and mercenary that you would benefit at my loss? Then you could ask the other. If you had the money and resources to buy something in this area, did you not have a responsibility to do your homework to see, is this a sustainable area? So who is at fault here? And that would be true for the entire coastline of the United States. Clear up, including New York, because in the very near future, we're talking about the next 2 to 3 years, you will see routine high-intensity storms that will cause a Hurricane Sandy to seem like a summer shower. You will see millions of people adversely affected, property values plummeting, tax bases eroding, and then people pointing fingers, because it doesn't seem that we're into solutions in America. We seem to have made it almost a cult mindset to yell, scream, get in your face, to denounce the other, taking no responsibility, as if we have engaged at least 2 full generations in intentional ignorance of everything essential to a quality of life on this planet. But the reality is, our planet is finite. We only have so many resources, and it will always be those who empower who exploit it. They cannot exploit it unless they have the political backing, because the political backing will produce the laws that allow them to exploit. And that was the danger of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Lori Wallach, a public citizen, said it best. She is the attorney for this wonderful organization that was founded by Ralph Nader and had been headed by Sidney Wolfe for many years, decades actually. And she said that the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was fully supported by Hillary Clinton, 44 emails were released by WikiLeaks showing her in these secret cables promoting the Trans-Pacific Partnership aggressively. There were also leaked emails through WikiLeaks that showed that she was threatening any nation that did not take genetically engineered seeds, that they would pay there would be a consequence to pay. Therefore, blackmailing countries around the world. You take our genetically engineered seeds or else. What does that show you about the individual, Hillary Clinton, the administration, and the type of interlocking friends and associates, lobbyists and consultants for the genetically engineered companies, our State Department, and then the capacity to control people outside of our country? And yet a person in France or Italy who wants to buy a particular product that was grown will not know that it was genetically engineered or not, unless their country says no to GMOs. But no one knew the battle behind the scenes. That in itself, just that single act, should have disqualified any person from holding office. They abused the power of the office. But then you have the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I did a total of 126 programs on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I was the first radio program in the United States to actually do a full investigation to find out how bad it was. And as she said, this is NAFTA on steroids, Lori Wallach did. She underestimated by a factor of 100 the severity of it. Let me explain. If the Trans-Pacific Partnership ever passed, it would be the death knell of our Constitution, of our land rights, our water rights, our air rights, the protection of the areas in common, like our forests, our national parks, our state parks, and the corporatization of America, the privatization of America, would become a feeding frenzy for 75,000 European countries alone through the TTIP. There were two treaties being promoted. All of this was done with the full knowledge and support of President Obama. That in itself, just that one act, should have condemned him to being the worst president in American history. Just that one act. But he had 500 other things that he did on top of it. And yet, the entire fawning group of people calling themselves Democrats or liberals, because they have nothing in common with a true Democrat or liberal, nor did the Republicans of true conservatives. These are faux, snowflake, cupcake, pathetic souls who lack either the scholarship or the emotional fortitude to look at something and look at it for what it is instead of needing it to be something for them to support. As a result, we had not the demonstrations to close down Washington, D.C. We could have had general strikes. We had none. We could have had millions of Americans marching on Washington and staying there, like Martin Luther King suggested, until every legislator condemned the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the TTIP contract. But there were none. Now, understand, when you no longer have sovereign rights and when our court system is no longer valid as a way of helping to address issues, and the Trans-Pacific Partnership would have had outside of American sovereignty superseding, a treaty supersedes our laws. That means that corporate lawyers, three appointed corporate lawyers from these mega corporations, would sit in judgment, decide the fate of a lawsuit, and there's no ability for appeal. I don't think that most people realize how close we came to losing our entire country. But we will not know all the people who supported it in secret, because the people supposedly negotiating on our behalf were always kept secret. What does that tell you? When no one was allowed to see, no American, no journalist, even American legislators were not. Thank goodness for WikiLeaks, because they're the most important honest news source in the world. The New York Times and others did not break the story. In fact, they did not condemn the people, including the president and Hillary Clinton and others, for supporting it. But that's their legacy, a true legacy, not the artificial one that has been created for them. So here we have a world, a country, where we're using water we don't have, 20 states do not have enough water. We're running out of water right as I speak in 16 states. Yet when was the last time a governor in those states was completely honest and told the people that in a chat over the television and the internet, we're running out of water? Now, we'll have some water, but not enough for all the people here. So at least one half the people must be helped in moving to a place that is sustainable. We did not do that. No one did that because no one wanted to give up their comforts. We all want change. We just don't want to be it. Someone else should change. Someone else should figure out our problems. Someone else should have an answer for our issues. That is how far removed we have from being responsible human beings. Let us take a look at the food. America throws away one-third of all the food it purchases because we overpurchase. We want everything all the time instead of what do we really need. And then the question is, what do we buy that could actually help us live a longer, healthier life? What do we feed our babies and our children? What do we feed pregnant women so that they have a greater opportunity to deliver a healthy, full-term child? At no point in the last 32 years has anyone addressed this in our government in any meaningful way. We have Surgeon Generals. They do not stand up for the American people. If we had presidents and administrations, they would have set the tone. They would have had a nationwide program they could have done by executive order or fireside chats like FDR did to explain the obesity epidemic, the arthritis epidemic, the diabetes epidemic in our children. They could have allowed the stations out there to carry public announcements and then gone into the different schools and had people come into those schools that would have given us much better nutrition education. They do it in Japan. Japanese students actually prepare the meals every day for other Japanese students. They learn cooking. They learn gardening. They learn soil conservation. We're having dust storms in 9 states. We're having sandstorms, as you would have seen in Saudi Arabia, in 3 states, where if you're out in a heavy sandstorm, you can be severely injured on your skin because imagine a 50-mile-an-hour wind carrying sand for 10 minutes over your body. That never happened in American history. It is happening now as a regular feature. We had more than 12,000 excessive weather pattern events last year. The worst tornadoes, hurricanes, heat days, cold days, drought, rain, flooding. And yet, not a single thing has been done. Not one thing. At what point did you see America say we must go to renewables and then have marches and demonstrations against the very products from those who were polluting? We didn't, not one. We should have condemned the Sugar Institute, the Refined Confectioners Institute, and all the other lobbying groups for the special interest that are giving us these toxic foods. We didn't have one. We should have major editorials in all the major medical magazines saying that if there's any conflict of interest, they will no longer publish any scientific article on any issue where it is done by the very industry that benefits from it, because we have seen consistently those are corrupted. So the very science that we use as the basis for making choices and changes and improvements is itself flawed. From the American Medical Association, which is nothing more than a corrupt union for doctors, and if you doubt me, go back and look at the lawsuit, a very important lawsuit, because I was instrumental in it. I broke the first story in America about the Secret Department of Investigations run by a Doyle Taylor and Rock Throckmorton that spent 25 years in secret attacking and marginalizing all alternative therapies, specifically chiropractic. If you want to go back to the mid-1970s, you can see a caveat emptor where I lay all this out. In fact, Ralph Nader had an article in the same publication. But still, we will trust the AMA when it has always been in league. We will trust scientific journals as if they're infallible. We will trust our physicians. The number one cause of death in the last 12 months has been American medicine. More Americans died because of mistakes made by their hospitals, their doctors, nurses, the medications given, even if supposedly properly given, than any other cause. It's called iatrogenesis. More injuries were caused. Millions of injuries, over 500,000 deaths, superseding heart disease. How many articles did you see in those same liberal or conservative publications challenging this? How about zero? How many meetings were there to correct this problem through our Surgeon General, the U.S. Public Health Service, the FDA, the CDC? How about zero? But let me put this in proper perspective, cupcakes. For those of you who cry because Hillary Clinton lost the election, where were your tears for all the children who died because of vaccines or ended up injured or suffering brain conditions or autism or all the people who shouldn't have gotten a medical procedure and died because of it or permanently injured and all the young girls, who teenagers who got Gardasil and are now crippled for life, paralyzed? Are you shedding any tears for the victims of American medicine? There are a lot of them. There's over 500,000 this year dead and at least 6 million injured. No tears for them? No press protests for them? Why not? Our perspectives are so warped. So virtually every institution in America has betrayed the truth. All self-interested. But because they have enormous control over people's opinions through the media they control, and most people get their information without doing their own homework, without their own scholarship. Let me give you examples. Right now, as I speak, there are 12.7 million American families who are food insecure. There are 15.8 million households and who are food insecure. Now, if you have 4 people per household, then you're looking at over 18 million children who go to bed hungry, and over 50 million Americans who go to bed hungry. Where are your tears for them? Where are your protests on behalf of them? I think it would be a noble gesture if we had a national day of protest, an absolute shut America down. It deserves to be shut down completely. A general strike until those children are fed. If we cannot find the courage, and if we cannot find the motivation, if we cannot find the temperament, and we cannot find the spiritual value to protest a child's hunger in our own country, a child's poverty in our own country, then shame on that person. You have no right to protest anything else because you are a hypocrite. And we are nothing but hypocrites. Food security varies from state. 8.5% North Carolina, 20.8% Mississippi. That's Jeff Sessions' state. So our new attorney general, sir, you have more people hungry each day, 20% of your entire state. When was the last time you even considered that an issue? And as a legislator, went to the other members of Congress and says, we need to establish community farms, urban gardens, and food banks that 7 days a week people can get their food for free if they're poor. You've done nothing, sir, nothing. Blacks and Hispanics are the most food insecure in America. So where are these self-righteous black leaders of the Black Caucus? You should have looked at this and made this a major issue. You would have had complete support because no American wants to see another American starve. We have 59% of food insecurity households are on the federal food program, and yet it was the Clintons, Bill and Hillary Clinton, that eviscerated that program. How in the world can anyone ever vote for a woman who has spent her entire career self-interested and doing everything that harmed blacks and Latinos and poor people? How can you do that? These figures do not include outright hunger, which the Bush administration removed from the definitions in 2006. Let me continue with the world also. We have 1.6 billion people who are overweight and 670 million who are obese. And everyone who's obese or overweight, you're going to die sooner. You're going to cost a lot of expenses to yourself and to society. We will spend today, while I'm speaking, $226 million on just obesity-related illnesses during this 24-hour period. 13,500 will die of hunger, just hunger, today in the world. 24 African countries are currently in serious food crisis, twice the number as in 1990. The U.S., through Bush and Obama and Clinton's AFRICOM, wants to militarize Africa to secure its resources as part of U.S. foreign policy interest, meaning the very wealthy equity and firms and hedge funds. These are the people who want the native land for their own selfish uses to exploit and to control the cost of food. Did anyone mention that, of how many people in Africa are suffering because of Clinton, Obama, and Bush? Global public health expenditure is $5 trillion. The United States has $3.5 trillion of that. American global development policies in debt nations, assuring they will remain virtually vassals to the United States and unable to raise their standard of living. If we banned the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, that would be a good thing, because all of those loans come attached with structural adjustments. The money never ends up in the country. It only benefits the people who are in control of the country. And yet the poor people in that country are held responsible and liable for the debt, including the privatization of their own resources, like their water. And then they have to pay for water that previously had been free. And everyone in government knows this. The American global debt policies are unsustainable by any measure, and yet they have not once been challenged. Global military expenditures last year were $2.1 trillion. America has spent $4.8 trillion without adding in the cost of long-term medical care for the soldiers who will need it right through today. Now imagine what we could have done with nearly $5 trillion. Our entire infrastructure could have been upgraded. We could have had a complete nationwide high rail travel by rail anywhere in America, equaling that of China, Japan, and Germany. We have none, zero today. And the only one that is being considered is one of these terrible situations where Barbara Boxer's, I believe it's Boxer, but one of the legislators in California, her husband, who was given this gift of $1 billion deal to get rid of the post office, privatized, now has gotten $1 billion to build a California rail system. And by the way, if you and I were to get information of insider trading and bet on it and profited, that is a federal offense. But do you know legislators are allowed to sit in session to hear information that the public is not aware of, to go out and invest in that? And it's completely legal. That is an absurd notion, that insider trading by legislators is all right. By the American public, it is against the law. When was the last time you heard anyone, including Obama or Hillary Clinton, say that the actual amount of money needed to protect us is about $200 billion a year at the high end, and therefore we're going to stop the other $1.3 trillion to all the military agencies? We do not need 17 different intelligence agencies. They could be eliminated, Homeland Security eliminated. All these could be eliminated. We could decriminalize the war on drugs. That would save a lot of lives at every level, and also get rid of a lot of gangs. Every year, we look at the planet as if it's capable of being exploited over and over again. But we're paying a price. How much forest did we lose last year? 18 million acres. We lost 38.2 billion tons of release of CO2 emissions. We did nothing to curtail that. 12 million acres of land were swallowed by desertification. 10 million tons of toxic chemicals released into the environment. How often are we told that there is no association between any of the chemicals that are in use in our society? And then we find out that there were, that these chemicals in plastics and in the pipes that carry our water, in the air we breathe, these are all interacting in our body and are very deadly to us. There wasn't a single discussion of that last year. 583 to the power of 12 liters of water will be consumed this year, and 624 million people today have no access of any water. Add in India with 700 million people who have no toilets, no running water. You're dealing with over a billion people who have no clean water to drink. 175 million megaton hours of energy will be used this year, but only 33 million will come from renewables. We should have a worldwide Marshall Plan to get off oil, nuclear, gas, and go strictly with solar, wave, and geothermal, and a new turbine of wind that does not do destruction to birds or the environment. The global population consumed $21 million, that's billion, dollars in illegal drugs last year. So what if you legalized drugs? Then you destroyed that entire cartel gang organized crime throughout the world. At present, there are only 10 countries in the entire planet not currently involved in a war, conflict in some way or the other. The U.S. only recognizes 10 official wars and 8 active military conflicts. Yet at this moment, there are violent conflicts in over 65 countries involving over 570 government factions, militias, and separatist groups. 370,000 people died directly due to violence last year, and at least 1 million indirectly. That's from Brown University, Watson Institute. And due to our military adventures in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Pakistan, there are 10.1 million refugees still interned, displaced, and living in grossly inadequate living conditions. You can thank Bush, his entire administration. You can thank Obama and his administration, and Clinton and his administration. The total tab of these conflicts is now $4.8 trillion. U.S. denies it's at war in Yemen, but after having conducted 76 known direct military drone strikes in that country, it is at war with Yemen. There's no sign of stability at all in the Near or Middle East. Things will worsen as climate change advances. Remember, Syria is technically a climate change war. At this moment, there are 50 dictatorships or authoritarian regimes in the world, 21 in Africa, 19 in Asia, and the remaining 8 elsewhere. Virtually all of them, except 3, are friends of the United States. We have worked with them. We have funded them. We have sold them arms. We have given them intelligence and satellite information. U.S. domestic infrastructure is reaching that of a third world banana republic. U.S. news article last March, is America's infrastructure destined to crumble? It is crumbling. The American Society of Civil Engineers released a report card annually on U.S. infrastructure. Last year, the United States received a D+, and we received a D in energy, schools, transit, roads, waterways, aviation, wastewater, levees, hazardous waste, drinking water, and dams. And the only thing we did any good at was solid waste, and that was a B-. But if we weren't doing B- work with solid waste, we would have averaged an F. The engineers estimate it will cost $3.6 trillion invested over the next 3 years to modernize our infrastructure. There's rampant diseases through Africa. With warming, diseases such as malaria and dengue fever, common in the tropics, will spread, plus new strains of pathogens, new pathogens altogether. Widespread environmental destruction from wildfires and extreme storms are going on now and will continue to get worse in the United States. Dramatic decreases in yields due to industrial nonstop monoculture agriculture in the United States, and as a result, in Kansas, in Indiana, Illinois, you're going to have such hot days coming up that your crops will wilt, you'll have such severe rains that they'll flood and rot your seeds, and then the price of what does grow is going to skyrocket beyond the ability of average people to buy it. Dramatic decreases in food production are beginning now. They're already in much of Latin America. America's coastal cities are far behind in preparing themselves for sea level rise and harsher storms, and that is coming. Also, let me be very clear. The aggression against Russia is because it is poised to become the world's dominant power due to climate change. Climate change will impact the U.S. far worse than Russia. It has as much smaller population. It has half the population of the United States and far bigger land. You could stick the United States in Russia. It has the finest topsoils and growing in the world. It has the largest forest in the world. It has oil. It has gas. It has all of the resources that give it a power base. And yet we have made it our enemy. Climate change will make Russia the leading food producer, and they have banned all GMOs. They won't allow them to be banned. They're going to become, in the next year or two, the world's leading producer of organic foods for other countries around the world. Russia's IT industries and expertise is everything equal or better than the United States. That's according to Bloomberg report. Russia's cyber and hacker capabilities are ranked second in the world. The United States is around 10th or 12th. And that's according to the International Hacker Organization. China's third. Its military is more strategic and advanced, but it's not treated as a private enterprise for profit, for the lowest bidder. Russia does not want war, but the neocons in Washington need war. It is they who have been pounding the drums, demanding war. Because as long as there's a Cold War or perception of Cold War, then they profit. But Russia has spent the last 25 years building up its economy, its infrastructure. It has a very highly educated population. And instead of working with them in a peaceful manner with detente, the last three administrations have done everything possible to grow NATO, a completely corrupt organization. I'm going to do a separate report on upcoming Tuesday, a full hour on it is a completely criminal organization, and we use it as our hitman, and the American public is clueless about this. But there is more. I want to take a look at the current president's platforms, the good, the bad, the ugly. First, Donald Trump's potential good stuff, and there'll be at least, that I know of, 41 organizations and triple that in reporters and real journalists who'll be watching every single thing he does. And when he does anything that is out of line with the interests of the American public or the world, we will be calling him out on it. But let us say that he is able to come in there and cause some positive change that Clinton would not have done. If Clinton had been elected president instead of who should have been president, which was Bernie Sanders, and the ideal president would have been Jill Stein or Rocky Anderson or Ralph Nader, take your pick, but even Bernie would have been much better. And Bernie would have been president had the DNC and the Clinton campaign not engaged in illegal and unethical behavior. All that was reported by WikiLeaks. That's who they should be angry with. Then we wouldn't have this mess we're about to face. But Clinton would have continued aggression against Russia. She would have allowed Israel to have attacked Iran. She would have passed the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TTIP agreement. She would have not changed any of the other treaties. She would have promoted genetically engineered food. She would have allowed the FDA to have destroyed the USDA to destroy the organic movement in America. She would have kept the Obamacare instead of a single payer insurance, And that's just the beginning. She also would have continued to engage in regime change around the world, as was her habit. But let us look at the good stuff that could happen. Trump's promises. He's allow states to legalize marijuana if they choose. He would legalize drugs to take profits away from the drug cartels. He promised committed to create millions of new jobs in the energy fields, including clean energies. Tax reduction to include child care expenses and elderly dependents. Expand or earn income tax credit to low-income households. Reduce or eliminate most deductions, loopholes for the very rich. Eliminate income tax for singles making less than $25,000 and marrieds making less than $50,000 a year. A 15% flat tax on businesses. I think that is so important because then every single business would have to pay a flat tax and you could eliminate the Internal Revenue Service. 6 weeks paid leave to new mothers. Increase funding for job training, education support, and business loans. And by the way, increase the age of the H-1B visa and require companies to hire Americans first. Withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Renegotiate the NAFTA with partners. 15% mandated tax for outsourcing of jobs. Refocus on domestic infrastructure spending, meaning put money into roads, bridges, tunnels, airports, railroads and ports, waterways and gas pipelines, by pulling away from the globalization agenda of other administrations. Resuscitate U.S. steel industry. Make clean water a high priority. He is cautious on nuclear power. He is aware of the dangers, but likes its job potential. Create a separate Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Complete an overall Veterans Affairs to help more vets. Fire former executives and end fraud and abuse. Hire unemployed veterans to provide care for veterans. Permit people to purchase health insurance across state lines. I believe that that's going to be a big problem. I believe that the only thing we should do is we should go on general strike, close down America until we have single payer where everyone is covered for anything that happens from birth to death. That would save us, actually save us. You have people who have no sense of economics, no sense of scholarship, telling you that, oh, it would bankrupt us, or, oh, look at the other countries, they pay so much in taxes to have that. That is not what they're paying taxes for. In point of fact, we're spending $250+ billion a year on excessive medical testing and treating because we do not protect our doctors, and we should. We also are paying the highest rates for drug prices, where we should have all drugs within a medical system where there is no profit. Take all profit out of American health care. If you took the profit out, you could eliminate $1 trillion a year that goes to the insurance industries. We don't need that administration. You could save $250 on no more excessive testings so that if you're sued, you'll say, well, you did every test and gave every medication. And that's then you could save another $200 billion if you got the cheapest prices, the generic prices for every drug. If you took the profit out, you're saving what it would cost to implement the entire program. I've done the numbers repeatedly. Also, he's looking to consider NATO redundant, and he is right there. A full audit of the Pentagon, and that's long overdue, and put an end to current strategies of nation building and regime change, meaning he's not going to do a Libya, a Honduras, Syria, a Russia, Ukraine. He says he doesn't want to go into other countries and do that. Audit departments to identify and get rid of waste. Well, how about this? At the minimum, you could cut every single department of government by 50%. That is a fact. It's massively corrupt, bloated, and domineering. Cancel all illegal executive orders. And I think that's very important because in the process, he would have to cancel a lot of the national security directives that he did by executive order. Now, those are some of the things that seem, if he's held accountable, would be good. Here are the bad stuff. Tipping Supreme Court to the radical right. Terrible. bring back Project Exile, an aggressive program used in Virginia to incarcerate people with guns suspected of crimes. Obviously, that's going to target blacks. $20 billion federal program for school choice in charter schools. Terrible idea. No indication of free university education would only work with Congress to reduce tuitions. Bad idea. We should have free education. Expand intellectual property policies. That's going to affect the internet. Moratorium on new regulations hindering private interest. And also part of this is to increase eligibility age for Medicare. Shouldn't. And he shouldn't touch Social Security. And supports the National Security Agency metadata collection and surveillance of all citizens to identify terrorists. Identifying terrorists, yes. But that wasn't the problem. The problem was that now every single communication by every single person in America and the world is monitored, read, collected, and analyzed on a constant basis. So you need to get rid of all these agencies. We don't need them. They do not protect us. They're just self-serving. And they're all tied to private contractors that do almost all the work. We pay the bill. He wants to unleash the U.S.'s $50 trillion in untappable shale oil, natural gas, over 100 years, and also our clean oil, our clean coal reserves. Well, A, there is no such thing as clean coal. He wants to compete with OPEC. He should be putting all of the resources into turning off the taps, plugging the wells, and putting the money into renewables only. We, again, could demand that. And he wants to increase coal and shale fracking and natural gas, and we should oppose that and fight for our rights to have a cleaner planet. He wants to open onshore and offshore leasing on federal public lands. We should not have anything on a federal land except an American person enjoying themselves, not exploiting it. He wants to eliminate a moratorium on coal leasing, and he wants a federal policy to encourage the public to move towards natural gas. All of these are really bad ideas, and that's what we'll be opposing and challenging. On foreign policy, close section of the internet, increase internet regulations. He wants to increase relations with Saudi Arabia and Gulf states and Egypt to fight against ISIS. Mr. President, are you aware that the number one cause of ISIS are all the policies, starting with Jimmy Carter and his National Security Advisor, Zabrinsky, on funding the Mujahideen that would later become Al-Qaeda, and that our intervention in Saudi Arabia, our intervention in Iraq in 1991, are taking the side of Iraq and Saddam Hussein in the eight-year war that caused a man to die against Iran, that the occupation of Iraq, the destruction of Iraqi civilians, that caused ISIS. So we have to get out of these countries. We have to disengage from what we have done and try to rebuild it. Everything that we've done to put money into any country for reconstruction has been destroyed or stolen, billions stolen. So Saudi Arabia is one of the leading supporters of terrorism. They fund ISIS. It's in the WikiLeaks email. Hillary Clinton's own emails show that she knew that this was happening. So if you want to help stop ISIS, then no longer ship any arms. Get out of the arms manufacturing business. Don't do any work at all with Saudi Arabia, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, and Kuwait. These are the countries, along with Turkey, that support terrorist activities. That's the only way of doing it. I don't care how many stars one of these stupid idiots that you have as a general on your staff. They are not smarter than common sense and reason. They are the problem. All they see is an enemy everywhere, and their associations, which you have not vetted, and their associations with all these other corporate interests, where they have been getting big salaries and big commissions or big consulting fees or big retainers to make sure that when they're in power again, that business goes to the contractors they're associated with. They need ISIS. They need terrorist attacks in order to justify the neocon pro-war mindset that pervades our policymaking people for the last 20 years. You need to get real diplomats in place, not the people who bundled money for you, which is what all administrations do. A person that has no knowledge, no background in foreign affairs, you could get quality foreign officers who are not politically aligned to step into those positions as ambassadors. That's who you should have. And detente and working with the caveat that if we find out that you are engaged in supporting terrorism on any level, we will cease doing any trades or any relationship with you. Also, all citizens from your country will be banned from coming to the United States if we catch you doing business at the official level or people associated with power base. You will be punished. Watch how quickly terrorism dries up. They are feeding it constantly, 24/7. That's how you deal with it. Now, there have been saber rattling saying that Iran is just about to have a nuclear weapon. It is not. But the fact is that the people I'm speaking about are never at these places. They've never been at the Council on Foreign Relations. Those are highly educated technocrats at the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group. These are the people who you're going to have surrounded yourself. You've surrounded yourself with some of the most incorrigibly selfish, self-interested individuals. They are masters at making profit for themselves at always the expense of the other. Now, why in the world would someone who cares about education and getting American kids once again to critically think, why would you hire someone, put them in the most powerful position of education in America, who has no formal education, who has no degrees, never graduated from college, didn't have her kids in these places? And the only reason she was selected is because she raised the Republicans $200 million. What do you expect the outcome to be? What do you expect to have when you put a person who was running Goldman Sachs' departments, made himself over $100 million, but specialized in foreclosures, putting people on the street? How does that look when you could have put people who come from areas of knowing about public housing and how to convert 10 million square feet of empty space that the federal state governments control into public housing and help to renew houses that are empty for those who can afford them at a small percentage of their total income? No wisdom, no insight, no foresight in any of these selections. You simply were throwing raw, bloody red meat to a bunch of Republican mad dogs. And that's the best metaphor I could think of, because it's apt based upon their reputation and what they have done. So I believe that you'll go through at least one to two turnovers in the people nearest you in the next 1 to 2 years. At some point in this journey, if you want to know about the real world, the world that you've never seen, the world that you're not a part of, and listen to people who care about that world, who have insight about that world and solutions that will help all of us, then we'll be happy to share names and phone numbers and to get you in touch with any of these 2,000 people that the world doesn't know exists. These are real wise men and women. You want to rebuild the Navy to 350 ships? Why? You want 1,200 new fighter aircraft for your Air Force? Why? You want to renegotiate the F-35s and push forward with them when they're already the most expensive war implement ever created, $1.5 trillion, and they're worthless? Why? We have hundreds of miles of rotting military equipment, some of it never used. It was never meant to be used. It was meant to create some jobs for legislators who could keep being reelected. So isn't it time that all these games stopped? You don't make a country safer by invading people, killing innocent civilians, taking over people's lands, exploiting their natural resources, alienating the racist rhetoric, that does not win hearts or minds. It wouldn't hurt, Mr. President, if you actually had one single spiritually minded person in Washington, D.C. Now, we haven't found that person yet in Washington, D.C., but we could bring one in. And it might give you some enlightenment to know how to approach problems without a mercenary mindset. Everyone in power since Eisenhower has looked to exploit the weaker elements of the world by using American hegemony as the bludgeoning element. You're going to do the same. And that's unfortunate. And you will be opposed every time you step out of line. And that is fortunate. We are many. We are millions. We are spiritual. And we are warriors. And we will stand in front of you. We are not afraid. We're not afraid of being arrested. We're not afraid of being pushed down. At least those of us who are legitimate. The celebrities, you won't find with us. But the real ones, you will. And we'll remind you, you're the president of all the people, not just those who supported you. You're also the president of all of our resources, the protection of our parks, our rivers, our air, our children, their health. My hope is that you will have an epiphany. You will have a coming to reason. You will have a moment of clarity, and then you will see what is possible. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you all for listening. Have a nice day. Sleep it all at night.